Hey, welcome back to the Resistance Radio Show on the Reformation Radio Network. We have some very special guests in studio with us today. Jason Callahan, I'm going to let you introduce our guests.
All right. Okay, we have Zach Winters, who's a musician. You can say hi.
Good morning.
And we have Jason Barrows, who's also a musician. You can also say hi.
Good evening.
And we have John, who's traveling with them.
Good afternoon.
All right, so both of you guys have released albums somewhat recently. You're close to a year now, I guess, Zach. And then Jason, yours just released not that long ago.
Mm-hmm. This past October.
All right, so I wanted to talk about your music and your motivations behind it and a couple songs. So, Zach, your album's called Monarch. You want to talk about kind of the theme and kind of what inspired it and what it's about?
Yeah, sure. It's kind of big, so I'll try to condense. Monarch, the song, kind of talks about time passing, seasons. We have monarch butterflies fly over every spring and fall. And they kind of mark off the time. And there's a lot in the album, I think, that revolved around the theme of waiting, but then also like the challenge to actively engage with life. So, I mean, I think that's sprinkled throughout the album. But
so touch on that a little bit, the idea of waiting but engaging, because that's pretty complicated.
Okay. So what I mean by that is it's easy to want something to happen. We all want something to happen. But it's like, what are we actually doing to help bring that about? So there's a sense in which we like take what we feel like maybe God promised to us or something like that, but then we actually like pursue it. And something that speaks to that to me is the parable of the stewards that speaks of each person being given like a sum of money according to their ability, and they were given by their like master. The sum of money, he's gonna go away, and what are they gonna do with it? And two of them multiply it and one of them doesn't. And just kind of buries it. And I feel like what it means to wait, but also to live actively is to like to wait, but also like take the thing that you've been given and to sow it into relationships, give it to people, and try to grow it yourself. So,
was there anything that was a topic that you touched on the album that was maybe especially hard or that you learned a lot from?
I mean, the two ones involving a particular sort of pain would be one, when the song Apology, I had just said something like insensitive and kind of harsh to my wife. I think we were still kind of like separately processing before we were going to come together and talk about it. It might have been after we talked about it, I don't remember, but sitting down and just kind of like working through that. So that would be one. The other one would be the song Eight Long Months, just talking about like wanting to have another child after being told that we shouldn't. But just like, you know, some medical complicated things happen with our first. And but eventually like we had another, despite being told we had neonatal alloimmune thrombocytopenia. So
not good, but your kids are super cute.
They are. They're great.
I agree. Only met them briefly, but they're both pretty nice. Cool. So that's a good amount of personal stuff you've got in there in your album. So can you maybe discuss why you put so much of like of who you are and what you've been through like into the music? Like, what made you want to express that in a song?
Yeah.
Nobody has to like declare to the world, oh yeah, I was a jerk to my wife and wrote a song about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you know. Sure.
Well, I guess that touches on a little bit of like, I guess, your approach to music, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I don't really know how to it doesn't occur to me naturally to write songs in another way. Mm-hmm. So to me, like when I write a song or when I release an album, it's like these are things that I've worked through in the last season of life, like where I'm like talking through things with God in the same way that I would write them out in a journal or something.
Wow.
So I know not everybody writes that way, but that's kind of like the way that occurs most naturally for me to do it. So
what about the musical side of that? Because I understand you're talking about writing out the words. So what's your, like, how do you tell me? Because I've written two songs and the only thing I can write is words. I have no musical talent whatsoever. So Mark and these guys put music to a couple of them. But so I don't understand the music side. Help me. How do you come to match the music to the words?
I usually get like a download of an idea. Like I'm going somewhere, I'm in the car or whatever, and I'm like, ooh. And so I throw it on.
All the musicians in the room are like, yeah.
I'm
still clueless.
I'll record it just on some handheld something. Maybe it'll just be vocal. Maybe I'll have my guitar with me or something. So I'll try to throw it down. And I have like lots and lots of those just collected. But it's the ones that I feel like are immediately connected with an idea or something that I'm working through, or ones that I really like that I'll sit down and like be disciplined to finish a song. So the words, the whole writing of a song comes after for me.
So do you feel like that's like something that like God also causes to come about? Like he'll give you an idea as you're... Well, because I know...
Is it a spiritual process for the music as well as the words? Putting them together, making them match?
Does he give you ideas, therefore it's easier for you to express something and leads you kind of down a road with that?
I mean, God made my brain and my ears and my voice, and so I'll go ahead and give him credit for that.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, cool. Did you want... maybe share a little bit about, so obviously, like, you talk about interacting with God with your music, right? Because you're, well, with your lyrics anyway, the content. So how did that relationship start? And, like what brought you to him, and what brought that relationship into music?
It sounds like your question is twofold, if I understand it correctly. Yeah. One, like... Are you asking me like my story with God?
Sure.
And then my story with music with God?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I was raised in a Christian home. But I think, you know, and I cruised with that for a while cause I had really good friends in the church and I knew good people. You know, all the while you like see broken things happen in the church because people are not perfect and whatever. But, so about high school, though, you know, I also knew a lot of, like, really nice atheists and really nice other, like, people that weren't Christians. And so I'm like, well, is Christianity just something that I inherited just the same way I have brown hair and green eyes? Or is it something, like, more substantial? Like, I would kind of like to know if I'm getting ready to launch into my own life.
Right.
There was, like, a season when I would kind of... I would have called myself an agnostic if anybody had asked, but nobody was doing a little inventory on me. So, I was like just waiting and asking for God to like reveal himself in some legitimate way. And man, it wasn't to, I know some people have really dramatic experiences where it's like, bam, like, and my life was forever changed, like, which is totally cool. And I envy that. I'm like, man, I kind of want God to smash my head against the wall and, you know, make it explode in glory or something, in a figurative way, of course. You know, people have powerful experiences. Mine was more like this realization that the like that I love Jesus more than I love anything else. Mm-hmm. And while people will like fall away from that or like not be faithful to like what Jesus called us into, that doesn't make who he is any less true. There we go. And I realized that there was like a muscle of faith to be engaged with whatever chosen worldview you have. Like, so I'm like, well, I'm gonna put my money on the Jesus horse. So
ride that thing home.
So that's my that's my story with Jesus, you know, up to a point. And with music, I don't know, I my brother started playing upright bass after I encouraged him pretty please not to play drums, because I didn't want to hear that in our house. And he took my advice, started playing upright bass, and after a while, like...
Are you, like, bigger than him, or...?
I am larger than him and older than him, so, you know, I wasn't able to influence everything.
He encouraged him.
Yeah. but I picked up guitar in high school, and, you know,
right.
And at some point, those things crossed paths, so...
Cool. All right, so I did want to talk about one song in particular called Snow. Just kind of want to give, like, maybe a synopsis of what it's about.
So in the first verse, I'm like going down a hill, and, it's the, like, the idea of, natural energy, entropy. Is that what you would call that? But that's like how our lives are naturally. We're like set in a certain direction where we'll like naturally flow to, like water going downhill. It's not generally the water going uphill effect. So that's that. And I'm like in a place of questioning, like, is this what I, is there any way that I can dig my heels into this and like actually engage with my life?
So is that the waiting and engaging thing you talked about?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
In the second bit, I'm like, I'm imagining, because I started like tracing my my lineage back a little ways, imagining the like the way that God has spoken to people in my lineage over, you know, thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And then in the end, I totally have this open invitation for God to just like, I'm like, hey, my life is yours, so feel free to like, if there's anything that you want to break, mm-hmm. that's like,
yeah, there's some pretty intense lyrics in there.
Yeah. I would love that more than like me winning at a game that's like not good.
Mm-hmm.
So
you mentioned earlier that you came to this realization that you loved Jesus more than anything, and in that song you talk about basically people settling for lesser things. So what do you think changed that for you? Because there's, I mean, plenty of examples obviously of people just settling for things that aren't Jesus, whether it's their pride or their secrets or whatever it is. Or material things. So what kind of changed that for you?
I mean, I still feel like that's a everyday thing, you know, like every day I can settle for less than Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there are certain ways I think we make compromises with that every day. But Jesus' invitation is open to us all the time. Like intimacy is wide open.
Please don't let me fall in hesitation. Yeah, 'cause it's these moments when silence starts sliding down. Trees go flying, never digging in my heels to fall among them. And the amnesia of this traveling begins to blur the memory of what I said out for. Stiff necks and broken wisdom, picking very late in our trade or our surrender make us any less of pretenders? Tell me. Whatever's on me that makes me dull, makes me dream of lesser colors, lesser things. You can unzip me from the seams. Kick all the props, cut all the strings, divert generational streams. They got my heart and make me scream. That is what will make me see.
Jason Barrows now. So your Bombs album away. Is Islands of My Soul?
Yep.
All right. So what's kind of the themes and inspiration behind that? Because you've been making music pretty long time, right?
Yeah. So I have played... Is it close enough? All right. Yeah, I have played in some worship bands, and then I also play guitar for Josh Garrels, another singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, this past year I kind of wanted to kind of branch out on my own. And it's funny, the title of the record, I don't even know. It took me so long to land on a title. At some point, just the title alone was like, I just have to pick a title for the record. And but yeah, it's interesting because like I'm definitely more of an extrovert, like mm-hmm. when it comes relationally to people. But like I think at first glance, a lot of like the songs probably seem very like introspective. Mm-hmm. And because I think too, you know, like Zach, I definitely. I think music and creativity has always been a way for me to process and filter mm-hmm. like the world as it's happening around me. And then coming into the faith, you know, it absolutely became a way for me to process what is happening to me, you know, in my faith. And so there's definitely a lot of themes, you know, like unlike Zach, like I didn't grow up in the church, you know, mm-hmm. Coming into faith was a really pretty, like, radical conversion experience from a completely altered and just different lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so, so a lot of, I think you would hear a lot of that come out, you know, in the songs about the journey. And I definitely, you know, have always, I think even early on, like, writing the songs too, you know. I recognize like a lot of young people who, you know, were in their 20s or early 30s and people who maybe had grown up in the faith and had just grown a distaste for like, you know, the kind of Christianity in the form of the church.
Mm-hmm. The package.
Yeah, the package of, so to speak, or, you know, or what they would consider like homogenized Christianity and... Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was interesting coming into the faith. I think there are like, you know, musicians who are in the faith who just want to make music and kind of just go out there into the industry and, you know, just make it big in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I always felt internally like pulled towards the people who I saw who were like in their mid to late 20s and early 30s who were falling away from the faith, mm-hmm. you know, because they had grown like hardened in their hearts and, you know, just kind of in their soul, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think a lot of that was just, you know, kind of opening up like my own voyage, like into the faith and, you know, always hoping that, you know, people would look at that and, you know, that, that the Lord would be able to use it to, you know, bring cool. people back into the fold.
I want to talk about that because one of the things, well, first of all, when I first listened to the album, I was like, this guy is kind of all over the place. Like, you don't even sing the same on some of the songs, you know, and like some of them are like super high energy and some of them are like really atmospheric. And so I was like, well, that's, you know, interesting. And then after I got past that, I was like, okay, he seems to be talking a lot about grace, which is kind of a pretty fundamental thing, you know, but you're talking that there's these people, you know, pretty considerable population that basically get to a certain point and they're either offended or turned off or whatever it is, and it seems like there's some elemental thing that they never connected with. And then I just thought it was just interesting that you seem to address that idea of grace in a lot of the songs, but kind of from some different directions.
So you're saying grace is that fundamental thing they never connected with?
I think it could be, and I think we've found that with just people we've ministered to and with, and even just, I mean, my own experience.
So is that what you were trying to communicate, that grace is that thing, that fundamental thing that they haven't connected with, or was there another message in there you were?
I think that, you know, definitely, I mean, even like sort of the, you know, not that I'm by any means fit to wax theology. It's quite the opposite of that.
Just wax experience.
Yeah.
An opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. I think experience is the best I have to offer.
I think that's true for everyone.
Yeah. I think I noticed, you know, like, it, and even like becoming older, you know, I mean, there's even the theology of like what grace means mm-hmm. and specifically theologically what it means and its repercussions and ramifications and when to give it, when to take it, it's just spread out throughout different denominations and expressions of faith. It's so vast. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, like in the song you had mentioned, Promised Land, you know, I noticed a lot of, like faith groups were, you know, sort of like pinning each other up against the wall with the sword, you mm-hmm. know, criticizing one another. And, you know, like, and I actually had, you know, being, it's interesting being a musician, versus, I guess you would say like a preacher or somebody who just speaks, being mm-hmm. a musician and an artist in that way. I had a very diverse experience coming into Christianity, mm-hmm. whereas opposed to I'd be involved in a lot of different denominations.
Yeah, well, when you're making albums, you're not tied to a denomination or a church, you know.
Well, so, you know, I think that's and that was a big, you know, factor for me too, was, you know, wanting to kind of break out of that system and say, you know, when you're an artist, you sort of create your own ecosystem, you know, and allow invite people in to, you know, to come into it and be encouraged, you know. And but when I was writing that song Promised Land, there are some very specific lyrics in that, you know, about people, you know, and you could see it everywhere, mm-hmm. you know, like you can see it from the pulpit on a Sunday morning if mm-hmm. you just are a guest in any church, or you can see it on the street corner, like down the street from, I live in a metropolitan area in Indianapolis, and you know, you'll see the guy like standing with the sign, you know, mm-hmm. like judging other believers or judging people, You see it happen in the pulpit. You see it happen in books. You see it happen especially on social media now. It's just, you know, kind of catapulted that even more. You know, there's so much just criticism, and it's the waters are rugged right now. And so I, you know, I kind of looked at that, and I like struggled with that, you know, like, I mean, it had a harsh kind of effect upon me, and because of how I had friends from so many different groups, you know, and you would see these people just kind of rail each other. And here I am, I'm like somebody who didn't come from the faith, you know, I didn't come from the faith. And so as a, you know, moderately new believer, you know, under 10 years, seeing this happen, you know, there was just something internally inside of me that was like, this is not okay, you know? And so I wanted to, you know, write about that. And in my experience too, you know, like when I became a new believer, I, you know, I think I would be attracted to like music that was kind of zealous and, you know, saying, you know, pointing the finger, you know, and saying, you know, you're doing this wrong. And like with Promised Land, I wanted to paint a picture more of like, hey, you know, no one, like Zach said, no one is doing this perfectly.
Right. Well, you know, and you're so, touring with Josh Garrels, you know, there's some songs that Josh has that are very prophetic that speak really strongly against specific things that the church corruption has done and is doing.
Yeah.
You know, we do the same thing because we're not pointing fingers at people, we're pointing fingers at practice. But every time somebody is adhering to a practice that they've become endeared to, they take that as a personal offense. If you say, look, the Bible says we shouldn't do this thing, then there's always there's this attitude of attack, even though that attack is not intended. And Jesus felt the same thing. So when you're talking, I'm picturing much more divisiveness over the minutiae of doctrine than the fact that you know, we should be loving our neighbor, and we should actively be engaged in that. And there are people that are offended by that because their faith doesn't live that.
Yeah.
So they think that you're basically pointing. I've been in situations where we talked about the fact that none of us draw a paycheck for our ministry, and I've had Christian people in a public forum stop the conversation and say, are you telling me that I'm wrong for having a paycheck? Right. And I'm like, I never said anything about you at all. Yeah. And I feel that in Christianity, there's these walls of defenses that have been built up around practice and tradition that become basically the fighting ground of, and then I think that those outside the church look at that and that they're disgusted by it.
Yeah. And then you're left with that group you talked about, which, I mean, I used to be one of them. I was like 20 something, so just like, I don't see it, God. You know, okay, you say it in the book, but I'm not seeing it, so I'm going to go do my own thing, you know. And I think that's part of it, is that attack attitude and kind of this, I don't know, more activity based and less, you know, relationship sort of based, you know, religion, like, cuts off grace. And, you know, where you were talking, Zach, about this idea of intimacy and that, you know, it's real and it's there every day. And it's like, you know, grace is the only way into that. And if that gets, you know, cut off, then you just basically got a bunch of people, you know, with their hearts ripped out trying to find who God is. And that's why I was really moved by that song you mentioned, especially. I'm probably going to screw the lyric up, but near the end, it's something about come and die upon my doorstep, and I'll give you all the beauty that you've never earned. And all I see is all these, you know, 20, 30-somethings just trying to earn and prove and accomplish and be like, look, I am worth something. You know, look at how good I am. Look at how smart I am. Look at how creative I am.
That's the biggest thing we run into in our ministry whenever people, we had 30-something people in on a work group today, and that's their third work group for July. And we see these young kids coming in their high school years, and they're pursuing. And what they're pursuing is not Jesus. Jesus is this thing that's part of what their life is, but what they're pursuing is career and education and comfort and security, and they can't figure out why they're dissatisfied with their faith and that there's something bigger, but the cost is too great and the peer pressure around them is too strong. And while you can see that God's drawing them and you can see it in their eyes, everything else pulls them away from that and they leave sad. And I, you know, it's like the rich young ruler. If he would have understood grace, he would have realized that everything that was being offered to him was way more valuable than everything he already had or even what he was pursuing. And to me, that's the message that's lost today, is you don't give up anything for Jesus. You give up everything, and then you find Jesus. And if you do that, then you find grace, and grace is rest. To me, that's what it is. It's like I can get up every day, and I can work really hard, but I always have rest because I'm not trying to accomplish something on my own. I'm really intrigued by the way you're talking about pursuit and patience, you know, because that's been a lesson God's been really pressing on all of us, because we always have in our ministry way more work than we can ever get done. Amen. And for us, we have ideas of what we think God's doing, and he puts big pictures on our heart, but then every day there's a million opportunities to do something, and we have to decide which of these things is the thing we're supposed to invest our time and energy in. And generally, if we do this together in unity, and we do it in prayer, and we're patient, then what happens is God unfolds his plan before us. And but I've never heard anybody from a musical standpoint talk about that. You know, and I've never seen anybody focus like you are, Jason, on this idea of, you know, biting at each other, because that's what we do in the church, is we bite at each other like we're the enemy. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness, you're a Presbyterian and you're Episcopalian. And holy cow, not to pick on them, but it's like, how can we even get along? You know, what?
Oh, yeah.
You got to join me, or you got to join me, or you got to submit to that or whatever. And it's like, really? Can we not just, you know, focus on the fact that there's poor, hurting people out there that they don't know Jesus?
Yeah.
And that there's a lot of resource we have that we could alleviate their suffering. And then maybe by that, they're going to find out who God is, because they'll see grace in action. There you
go. Yeah. And I think, you know, there were artists, you know, that I heard, you know, a portion of the message from, you know, when I first came into the faith, but a lot of times it, you could just tell when it was communicated just musically, like it wasn't from a place of like hope and peace, and, you know, really like resting in the identity of the Lord. And
I'm a man sent from the promised land, here to tell you all the secrets of the universe. I'm the master plan. Wouldn't understand if you won't even love your brother, burying yourself in comfort gold that's meaningless. 'Cause everyone knows, or maybe they don't, that redemption is the high road, and you never pay one bleeding dime. So children laugh and see, fill it with light. I already paid the price for your life. Don't carry the cost on till the end. Thank you.
come and die upon my doorstep, and I'll give you all the beauty that you never earned. Everyone knows, maybe they don't, that redemption is the hot road. You never pay one bleeding dime. So children laugh and sing, fill it with light. Already paid the price for your lies. Don't carry the cost on to the end. Oh,
and maybe this isn't even an appropriate question. Maybe it's not a question you've pondered, because sometimes I'm completely off the wall.
Sure.
How do you, as artists, because I think you're hitting on some concepts that God's really ground into us in what we're doing. And it's whenever I see that, because we never met you before now, and you guys are from different parts of the country, and we're all in this same generation, so God's doing something here. He's trying to return his people to a thought process that's been lost. So how do you, as artists, move beyond just the communication side and actually help propel people to understand grace and quit backbiting and to understand how to engage and be patient? How do you actually model or show that or even move them into that point of action? Or is your, you feel like maybe is it your job is just the communication of the concepts and then other people's gifts will come in? Which way do you see that?
Man, I wish I could see strategically far enough to like make decisions about my own future. But as far as like making decisions about other people's, I take comfort in that. Like at the very end of before Jesus was crucified, one of the things that he left them with was like, "Abide in my love, mm-hmm. abide in me, mm-hmm. and you'll bear much fruit." And I feel like a lot of the things that we try to get to, a lot of the like. Objectives we try to reach, we try to get to them in a very logical way, and I don't always feel like Jesus works in a highly logical way, at least in whatever sources have trained our minds to think logically, quote logically. So I feel like that's our invitation. I feel like we're at our most fruitful when we're abiding in Jesus like he promised, and from there it's like, you know, I can't see far enough ahead to know like what music will look like for me in 5 years, but I can know that I can like press into Jesus in that relationship, and I can trust that the things that He gives me to steward in my time with my relationships, with my skills, with all the things in my life, that He'll like create fruit from that. So
awesome.
That's kind of like that's the small headspace that I feel like we're invited into, that goes through into a much larger playing field.
You got anything to add to that, Jason?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I find myself, it's interesting. I mean, I find myself, you know, when you're like 20 years old, you're just kind of floating around in the universe without a care in the world, you know?
At least that's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
If you
yeah.
haven't got it, that's what you're after.
Yeah. I think that, you know, you're just sort of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, you know, and have no clue what you're doing. And but then, you know, when you're 30, like, you see, I think you see into the flaws of the world and of culture, not just American culture, but, you know, just culture as a whole, and kind of like the, systems that men make up. And, you know, I do, like, I find myself at night, and I'll share this, you know, with friends at home, that I'll find myself just overwhelmed by the amount of sort of chaos and trouble.
Oh, I'm with you, brother.
Happens in the world day. And
just in my neighborhood.
And I, you know, like, when I look unto the Lord, you know, I've found that like that I gain, you know, the most peace when I look unto Him, and He, you know, that I just open myself and say, what is it that You would want me to do? Because if not, I think I look at the whole world, and like Zach says, it's almost exhausting to, you know, you can, with your logic, try to figure out how you can just fix everything all the time, and you end up spending yourself just away into emptiness. And you know, like what Zach was saying about abiding, you know, when I look to Him and I'm just looking at Him, and then He kind of gives me a direction to go, and because, you know, then you can work joyfully. And a lot of times, I think lately I've reflected too on you know, like, if I guess this gets into theology, but like fallen nature of creation, you know, like, would God want me, would it be okay, like, for me to, you know, live a life where I get to, like, pursue creativity and make things and create things that are beautiful and interact with others, you know, if life was not filled with the fear of, if we didn't live in a broken world, you know. Like, how much permission? What would I have permission, you know, from the Lord
so
to do?
So is that, yeah, I mean, to me, I look at that as, like, God's desired state for man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Adam had. I mean,
so there's a tension there, because I see, you know, like, for instance, even on a practical level, you know, like, as a 30-year-old man, like, oh, like, I would like to have a home, like an actual place to just dwell peacefully and just to create. And, you know, I don't want anything, like, excessive, you know, like, and, you know, a lot of times I'll, like, wrestle with the conviction of, Lord, I will look at the need, and then I will look at my own desire, and I go, oh, Lord, you know, I'll kind of self-crucify myself and say, oh, you're just being selfish, and you're only thinking about yourself. And I've had to really, like, walk out through grace, like, the tension of, oh, like, I, you know, what I yearn for, like, is peace and rest from You, and a sanctuary where I can create. And, but what I also long for, you know, is, like, to see repair, like, come to the broken places in the world. And so I think that, you
know, preaching our gospel.
Yeah, it's like by,
absolutely.
It's like by the Holy Spirit, you know, so, like, you have to, like, look unto the Holy Spirit to say, give me wisdom that is beyond me to kind of walk through this, you know, walk through this land, you know.
Yeah. So I think we're all on the same page on that.
I just wanted to give a little bit of encouragement, because I feel like I struggle with a lot of the same things, and just I think that there is a place that exists that you can have all of the above. And I think that's what scripture talks about when it says having the same desires as God. And then he gives you the desires of your heart. So I think that whenever what you want and what God wants line up, then that's that place you're looking for.
So yeah. I'm the oldest guy in the room. Guarantee it. And I just want to share with you that, you know, when I was younger, I mean, I was in business for myself and always pursuing money. And that's where I was. Grew up outside the church. So that's what you're supposed to do, right? And like I had this dream that I was going to have this big Victorian house on the lake, and I was going to have a wood shop and going to own an ice cream store and all this stuff. That was going to be like the perfect place for me. And when we came to do this ministry, God just basically got me to a point where I was face down and said, nothing but you, Jesus, to give it all up, want nothing but you. And literally, he took everything financially from us, got lost the job, got rid of the house, got rid of our IRA, got rid of everything, and came in, lived in the inner city in this place where everybody's killing each other. And here I am 5 years later, and I have a big Victorian house across from the lake at the park. I have the wood shop a block away, and I have an ice cream parlor across the street. And I got everything that I ever thought I wanted by giving everything up and following Jesus. And I don't own any of it, but awesome. I got all of it, you know? And then what I realized was that without Jesus, I didn't want any of that. I just had it backwards. But he knew that he had put certain things into my heart and that he can reward me with those and I can use them in an honoring way. And that's what I try to do, is I use the house for the missionaries and for travelers, and we use the cafe to, you know, spread the gospel and God's glory, and the wood shop to employ people. So you can have all of that.
It's fantastic.
And God can bring that to a place where you know, the heart, it's on your heart for a reason.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're gonna come at peace with him someday and say, just because I have it doesn't mean I'm greedy. It doesn't mean that I'm self-indulgent. What it means is that I'm obedient.
I was going to say, and, you know, the enemy can...
He wants to make you feel so guilty about absolutely everything.
And, like, that's my own battle in that, is, like, just having desires and then being granted them after having given up everything in order to do that.
Yeah, 5 years they've been trying to have a baby. Just now found out they're pregnant.
Right. And so I'm about to have my... And he, I mean, he told me I was going to have a son the day... that I married her
5 years ago.
Yeah, I had dreams about him and everything. And anyway,
not selfish to want
really awesome
certain things. It's selfish to want them to indulge your flesh and to move you farther from God. That's bad. But to have those things and to be, you know, abiding first and foremost, and in God's grace, He can reward you with good things. And there's nothing wrong.
And
with
I think that's one of the ways that God actually also tests us too, to make sure that He's first. You know, so
absolutely.
All right, well, I think we have to wrap up.
There you go,
because they're going to be playing in an hour and 13 minutes. So
we might want to go that direction.
Need to get back and get you guys.
Not tonight. They won't. Whenever you hear this, that'll already have been over.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But before we wrap up, what are you guys doing? Why are you here in St. Louis? Give us a little update on where you're going after this and what you've been. Why you just happened to travel here.
Yeah, my family has been on a winter's migration. We went all the way up to across the south, up the east coast, stayed with my grandma for a bit in New York, and are headed back down through the Midwest playing shows and connecting with people. We've had a super great time. We actually have only one more show after tonight in Kansas City with Jason, and then the rest of it.
When is that show?
That show's tomorrow night.
Oh, so it'll be over.
So yeah, that will also be
over. Nobody go to Kansas City looking for these guys.
But you guys still both have music on Noise Trade, is that correct?
Yeah. You can go to ZachWintersMusic.com or
JasonBarrowsMusic.com.
There you go. Please do. They're great. And thank you all for listening.
And thank you guys for coming in. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you guys for having us.
So bend in all of your fear and set sail for a city of light. For now the door to those lands is the heart. You carry inside. It's gonna cost us everything to find the one Lord and King. True love endures everything to be free.
The Resistance is hosted by Dr. Terry Goodwin, Mark Sanford, Jason Callahan, and Mark Goodwin. Our theme music is The Resistance by Josh Carrolls and is licensed by Marmoset Music. This episode of The Resistance Radio Show was originally broadcast live on KXEN 1010 AM in St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you for being a part of The Resistance. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from our feed at theresistanceradioshow.wordpress.com. Find us on Twitter at Disciple Driven, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Disciple Driven Church, or on our website at DiscipleDrivenChurch.org. To learn more about our missionary work in the inner cities of America, please visit sunministries.org. You can email us directly at terry@DiscipleDrivenChurch.org.